Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us begin our discussion with reading Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23, but I will stop at 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, may your presence be with us as we study a great scripture, one on which the foundation of the church, your church, is built. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our text today gives us the foundation of the Church of Christ. My attempt is to proclaim, confess, and herald that to know Jesus Christ is eternal life. I will attempt to explore the significance of knowing Christ. For if we know Christ and what he's really about, everything falls in place. If the Holy Spirit blesses us with that high transcendent view or knowledge of Christ, everything falls in place. A matter of great teaching is asking questions to arrive at a desired purpose. Law schools drill their students in what is called the Socratic method, named after Socrates, the great Greek philosopher. Our Lord did not ask questions or many questions because he's all-knowing. Scripture teach that he knew what was in people's heart, his disciples included, before he engaged them in dialogue. Our Lord did not ask questions in order to know. He knew and foreknew everything. So what our Lord really did was quiz people in the form of questions. Above all his quizzes is the ultimate one, the greatest. And the greatest question for all of humanity: who do people say that the Son of Man is, and to his disciples, but who do you say I am? On this question hangs the salvation of man. On this question is built the foundation of the Church of Christ. In this question is eternal life. Who is the Son of Man? May I suggest, this question must never be approached with any touch of simplicity or triviality. Why? If John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." If this John the Baptist said to Christ, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" If John said that, then we must not approach this question. Then we must approach this question, all of us, with all our might. This is the question that we must meditate on all the days of our lives. To those who fail to do so will fulfill Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?" And I would say to them, or declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Who do people say that I am? He asked his disciples. The disciple answered, saying, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say some prophet." We all know that the Lord is neither John the Baptist, nor Elijah, nor Jeremiah, nor any prophet. The three offices of Christ are prophet, priest, and king. Hebrews 1 says, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the Father God, of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power." This is the Christ that we know as a prophet. Not like some of the unbelieving Jews or the Muslims. As a priest, Hebrews 7:17 says, "You are the priest forever. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." As a king, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So those people and Muslims that say Jesus is just a prophet are wrong as to who Jesus really is. But before discussing Peter's inspired answer and the Lord's response, It is important to note that this is not the first time Jesus revealed himself. In John 1:43 to 51, it is written, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Peter, he found Philip, and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I said to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Angels of God descending and ascending. Ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The law is referring to Genesis 28. Let's read a few verses from there. Jacob left Bethsaida or Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up and set up for a pillow and pour oil on the top of it. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillow shall be to God's house. And of all that you gave me, I will give a full tenth to you." In this scripture, the scripture seems to prefigure God's house. Predominantly, the theme in this passage is God, the house of God, the gate of heaven. Jacob speaks of the stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that God gave me, I will give 4/10 to God. Let's keep Genesis 28 in mind as we discuss the Son, or who the Son of God really is. Christ reveals the right answer by quizzing his disciples, saying, "So who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The most significant thing to remember is when Jesus revealed himself, there is not a trace of simplicity or triviality. When he reveals himself, the Lord is not talking about his name, his age, where he was born, or what he eats. In his self-revelation, Jesus revealed what he's really about. In Luke 2:49, he said to Mary and Joseph, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's house?" The NIV said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's house?" In John 2:16, he told those who sold pigeons in the temple, "Take away these from here. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." In John 4:34, Jesus told his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." In John 5:38, he said, "The testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very work that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." Through the eyes of these scriptures, we see nothing trivial. We see the real Jesus. We see what he's really about. Number one, Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Son of Man is not a mere name. It is a title that goes back to Daniel 4, from where I read. Daniel said, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." So the Son of Man is Jesus' favorite title. Now, looking at Christ interrogating his disciples, we see how he employs the Son of Man. He said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And he follows that with, "But who do you say that I am?" This is the import of this question. What Jesus does, what he teaches, his works, his miracles, his healing of the sick, raising of the dead, giving sight to the blind, making the lame walk, forgiving sin, etc. and etc., constitute his self revelation. And that was his answer to John the Baptist. And that was the conviction that drove Nicodemus to him overnight when he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." So the very significance of this question, who Jesus really is, he is the Son of God, the promised Messiah, the enmity between the man and the serpent, between the woman and the serpent in Genesis 3:16, the prophesied in Psalm 2:12, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in your way." Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's the one prophesied in Isaiah 4:7, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear the Son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Mary, the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Matthew 1:18. Jesus is the Christ, heralded in John 3:16. The second significance of who Jesus really is also in John 14, verses 1 and following. He said, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas asked him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you who have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip asked him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all so long? Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who does them in me. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. An unforgettable verse is Zechariah 12:10. The Lord our God says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Who was pierced on the cross? Jesus. But here God the Father is saying, when they look on me, whom they pierce. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And because of this, the Jews pick up stones to stone him. In verses 31 and following, it is written, the Jews pick up stone again to stone him. And Jesus answered, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for the good works that we are going to stone you, but for blaspheming, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I say you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Brothers and sisters, there are many scriptures that show that Jesus and the Father are one. I'm sure we covered a few many. So let us now move on to discussing why to know Jesus is above all knowledge. This is the significance. To know Jesus is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ is to know God. To know God is eternal life. Therefore, to know Jesus is eternal life. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus lifted his head He lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son will glorify you. Since you have given him all authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In John 5:21, Jesus said, For as the Father raises the dead and gave life to them, so also the Son gave life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, and that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and it's now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In John 10:28-29, Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. In John 10:9-11, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Based on these scriptures, I believe. 1 John 5:11-12. John writes, And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. These scriptures teach us who the Son of God really is. He is truly about giving us eternal life. He is our eternal life. For in Him we live, move, and have our beings. Paul also says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Finally, the Son of Man is really about His church. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will give you, and I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First, Jesus teaches that Peter did not come up with the right answer, but the right answer came from the Father. Jesus goes on to say, on this rock I will build my church. The rock is a metaphor. It is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Matthew 16:18 shows that Peter is the foundation of the church. We the Protestants disagree. John Calvin said this is a blasphemy. He said, we acknowledge the truth and certainty of the declaration of Paul that the church can have no other foundation than Christ. It can be nothing less than blasphemy and sacrilege when the Pope has contrived another foundation. And certainly, no words can express the detestation with which we ought to regard the tyranny of the papal system on this single account, that in order to maintain it, the mouth of hell might be open and swallow up wretched souls. John MacArthur said, what the Lord is saying to Peter is this. He is saying, Peter, I am going to build my church on you in this sense. The fact that you are articulating the truth. I am going to build my church on you because you are affirming the foundational truth of the church. Namely, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. The point is that I believe Christ built His church, built His redeemed assembly from all of redemptive history on one premise, and that is the articulation of the truth of divine revelation. Everyone who is articulating divine revelation is fundamental to the building of the church. Even though Jesus said these words to Peter, Peter is representing all of the disciples or apostles. And this is in Ephesians 2:19-20, which says, "Member of the house of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Secondly, Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Gates of hell means death, Hades, Sheol. Calvin Shapley says it this way: against the power of Satan, the firmness of the church will prove to be invincible. In Revelation 1, Jesus said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I die, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Third, Christ promised the keys to his kingdom. By keys, Jesus means the public office of the apostleship. First, they are messengers, ministers, teachers of the gospel. Secondly, they are entrusted, vested with the power to bind and to loose. They have the key to the kingdom of heaven. And lastly, to bind and to loose, this is in line with the Lord's Prayer: "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This means that whatever the apostle bind on earth shall be bound on heaven. And whatever they loose on earth is also loose in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us get to know Christ. Then we know who builds our church. The question who Jesus really is a life question. Indeed, it is our most meaningful quest in life. He is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He is the conquering king. Just to name a few descriptions. Yet, like our brother Steve said in his opening this morning, God the Father did not spare him, but gave him up for us all. So, what is our Lord truly about? And I don't know how to say that, but please hear me out. If I said it any way wrong, please say it to yourself the right way. Put it in your own word. He is truly about you. He is really about us. And here is my clue And as you read the scriptures, you will find many clues too. My clue is in the high priestly prayer, starting from verse 17. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world will may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me, Father. I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Brothers and sisters, do we see Jesus in this prayer? Do we know him based on this prayer? Do we know that Jesus prayed for us to be one with him and the Father? I read this and I said, wow. Brothers and sisters, this should not make us lift our heads. This should make us to bow our heads. So let us pray. O Lord our God, if you did not spare your son, your only son, but gave him up for us, Father, what won't you give for us? All Heavenly Father, enable us to believe in your only Son, our eternal life, that we may not perish, but have eternal life. For your glory and our good, we pray. Amen.